Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry show, where we love to talk about food, drink, recipes, and techniques, and where to shop, taste, and play. Let's go. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Big Daily Blend podcast and our Eat, Drink, Be Merry show, because today is French Bread Day. It is March 21st, 2024, and apparently every March 21st, we must celebrate with French bread. And, you know, we look at all the holidays for our Big Daily Blend show, and when Chef Ivan Flowers comes on the show, we're always now, okay, what's going on this month? What kind of food thing? And we sent over a few ideas to him and his wife, Tracy, and Nancy and I placed bets. What was he going to pick? And of course, he picked the French bread. So welcome back, Ivan. How are you?
I'm very good. Good to be with you.
Well, listen, happy French Bread Day.
It's a good
day. Hey, listen, it is also Women's History Day, month, excuse me. And you know, we actually have a brand new Women Making History podcast now. It all started just, we just March 1st. Yeah, it started over a glass of wine. On March 1st, the sun came out.
As many good things do.
I know. It's true. We didn't have French bread, but Nancy and I, the sun was out. You know, we were defrosting after all the winter stuff we'd gone through.
Yeah.
And Nancy and I sat outside with a glass of wine and we're like, you know, we were talking about all these women's shows. Like you were talking about Julia Child last time, remember? We were talking about all of that. And we're like, well, we should do this podcast at this. And Nancy just says, we need to do a magazine. And I'm like, well, we've got 7 days. That's not happening to pull all our archives. Then we're like, well, let's do a podcast. Well, we could do a podcast. So that night we started a podcast and it's been daily ever since. It's kind of crazy.
Nice.
But I wanted to ask you, I know last time we talked about Betty Crocker. We talked about Julia Child. You know, is there, I mean, you got Tracy, lovely Tracy. But yeah, any shout outs to the women in your life since it's Women's History Month before we talk about French bread?
I'd like to give a shout out actually to Temecula Valley High School, my principal, Donna Leone. I've had a few principals in my career up there, and she's one of the great ones. You know, she just cares about students and cares about teachers, cares about the program, and is just she's wonderful at what she does and puts a lot of time in. A lot of effort, which as a teacher, that's greatly appreciated.
Mm. And I need to backtrack here, everyone. You know, Ivan's been on the show since we started, literally. I'm not kidding. So over 17 years, and we're all 21. Yeah. But Chef Ivan Flowers, he's a 5-star chef. I mean, he's run restaurants around the country and even on airplanes. Seriously, that's a whole other story. We need to do that one day. We need to talk about airplane food. But also, now Ivan is a culinary instructor in Temecula at a high school in Temecula, California. And I think, and you've been there for, wow, like how many years now?
Yeah.
Quite a while.
Six, going on six.
6 years? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow. Yeah. It's pretty amazing when you think about schools holding on to programs like culinary arts, because I remember when I was in high school, you went to home economics. It was like the girly thing to do.
Right.
All the girls did that. You learned how to sew. And I, you know, when I did that, I sewed my pants closed, which Nancy thought was great. But it was like, kind of like, that's what the women did. The guys went to shop and that's that. Has it changed now? Because a lot of programs get kicked out of schools. So I think it's great. It's there.
Yeah, CTE, 21st century CTE, we wake them up. It's not only about cooking. It's not only about hotel tourism and recreation and everything that you can do from serving to cooking to being, you know, an executive chef, a chef de cuisine. We teach resume writing. We teach filling out business applications, job interviewing. We teach skills that you're going to really use in the real world, you know, how to dress, how to speak in a job interview, using keywords to get the job that you want, doing the research, POS systems, budgeting, inventory.
The POS system is the Posi Touch. Everybody wants to learn how to push that button. And if you go to a bar, that's what gives you like the tab.
Yeah, the POS systems nowadays do everything but walk the dog for you.
And they do
I
the
mean,
inventory too, right? It's everything.
Yes,
It's
all
like
of
the
it. All of it.
wow. Wow.
All of it.
Wow.
All of it.
So this I didn't know it went that far into this, the education side. So you're teaching cooking, you're teaching the hospitality, the business side. So, and then at the same time, teaching kids how to cook, which I think is something really important for good health and nutrition, and for being
Big
economical
time.
when you're going to college, the pizza starts to happen because every college gets, the 2-for-1 special, not necessarily
Right.
the healthiest thing,
No, no.
So
But we turn that around and we say when a chicken is 89 cents a pound and you can buy a roaster, a 5 or 6 pound chicken, you can have enough, literally enough meals for the week. So we teach them how to fabricate. And then from that, how to get broths, how to get stocks, chicken salad, chicken sautés. When you're living with roommates and there's not a lot of money at the end of the month, loss leaders, which is what Tracy does all the time, how you can now shop and fight, you fight inflation and also, I hate to say, corporate greed, and you can walk out of the supermarket with literally double what you thought you would have, paid for is half because you're doing things correctly. Takes a little work, but it's worth it.
I love this. I want to ask you, and number one, also say it's your birthday today that we're recording. So happy birthday, Chef Ivan.
Thank you.
Going back to when you were a kid, did you get this kind of education? And if not, do you wish you had it? Or when you think about you in the age group of the students, the high school students you're teaching now, and you think about where you were, what were the systems like then? Not that you're
It was
ancient or anything. I'm not saying that.
kind of home economics. I learned how to sew. And I remember they
Okay.
told me how to sew a button onto a shirt. And I thought, how ridiculous this is until you need to sew a button on a shirt. And then, whoa, I know how to do this. I know how to thread a needle. I mean, they taught us typing back then, which gave us speed and gave us confidence.
Oh, that's smart. So those things are important, and okay. So let's go to sewing, learning how to thread a needle and how to sew a button. Did that help you in culinary life in regards to stitching things? Because sometimes you have to use string and stuff and sew stuff
Oh,
up
absolutely.
in meals.
Yeah. When you're trussing chickens and you're trussing proteins and you're barding and you're larding, it's all the same extension of what you learned when you were a kid.
Wow, this is cool. This is cool. I love
Eye-hand
what you're doing.
coordination. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. We always have fun with you on the show, but we always learn. And French bread, Nancy and I both won, so now we can't even, bet against each other until next month when you come back on with whatever other holidays there are. But when we look at French bread, then there's this thing about, is it a French bread loaf or a baguette? Can we just get to the point of what is French bread? Because there's Italian loaf that can look similar to a French loaf. So like if you go to a grocery store, you'll see these, big fat loaves, not the ones that are sliced bread and mass manufactured. There's artisan bread, which is like a big fat ovaly one. So what makes it a French loaf versus a baguette versus the Italians coming in and saying, we got bread too? Because
True French bread is thin, crusty and fluffy in the middle, and it has no fat and it has no sugar, which is actually rather healthy. What you do have to check when you read the label is salt. Some of them are saltier than others. Others have very low salt. It's one of the reasons why the French are so fit with the French paradox, the baguette in the basket with the cheese and the wine, bicycling home, walking. It's a very, very healthy, but they're thin, crispy, crunchy, fluffy. And the true baguettes that you buy in boulangeries are remarkable. They're just remarkable. I like to use them a lot of times for bruschetta and scarpetta. So scarpetta, let's say you order a big thing of mussels and a garlic thyme Chardonnay broth. And then you have the broth left over and you run that bread through that Beautiful, beautiful sauce. That's a scarpetta. With French bread, it just makes it remarkable.
You know, I'm getting hungry because as soon as I knew you were coming on and you've got a great recipe, everyone, the link is in the show notes. You have a wonderful recipe for warm red pepper and mozzarella crostini. Ooh. And I was looking at this and I'm like, okay, this is like danger zone to me. I do want to get some wine with it. But then, like, as soon as I hear French bread, like I'm already drooling. It's kind of disgusting. Can't help it. But like, I want like the garlic toast. Now, garlic toast, you could do garlic toast with French bread, right?
Oh, sure,
Just
of course.
little ones. And I'm now craving provolone soup. I told Nancy, I want provolone soup, not provolone, French onion
French
soup.
onion soup with a
Provolone
Gruyere,
cheese.
yes.
Oh,
And
Gruyere,
they
is
put
that
the
better than
baguettes
provolone?
in. They use
Oh.
Gruyere, and then they use the caramelized onions with the stock, and then they'll put the
Oh.
crostini from the baguette in the soup. They'll cover it in the crock with Gruyere, and then they'll bake it in the oven until it starts to caramelize on top. Ugh.
Oh my God. Like, seriously. Is that not some of the best of the best of the best food
Oh,
ever?
it's the existence of God, according to the French.
I think it's, I mean, don't they put like red wine in there too? Like they can, or it's
Oh
got
yeah.
like
Oh
a
yeah.
beef base, right? So it's a red
Yes,
meat
and
base.
use yes, red wine. Yeah, but you can do it with veggie stock. You don't have to use a
Yeah, you
veal
can
or a
be
beef stock at
vegetarian.
all. Of
Yeah, and you could
course.
use
Of
vegan cheese
course.
if you're vegan. And so,
Yes.
oh, is French bread vegan? Like I know sourdough is vegan. The French bread, it's not, it's
French
maybe,
bread
oh
vegan.
no, it's got egg in it. It's got egg,
It is.
right? It's
Yeah.
got,
It is vegan. Nope, it's
oh.
vegan.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, there you go,
Yes.
people. That's really cool. Well, this is, you know, except for the cheese, which you could get, and the mayo, you could get vegan. But the red pepper, there's something about like a red pepper sauce, especially if they're roasted. Do you ever roast them and then mush them up
All
like
the
red
time.
bell peppers?
All the time. If you're going to roast your own peppers, you char them till they're black, you put them in a bowl, you cover them with plastic for about 10 minutes, and then with a paper towel, you just take off the char and you have a beautiful roasted pepper. You can also, for this dish, if you use in the can, roasted, you want to make sure you put them between paper towels and dry them really well and compress all the excess liquid out so it doesn't affect the dish. This goes on a bruschetta crostini, or you can use this as a dip and then just have warm toasted French bread on the side. You could do it either way.
Okay. So it's the yeah, so the dip is the warm red pepper is like this dip. So this is okay, wait. What is the crostini, the baguette? Like what is yeah, and what is the
All a
difference?
crostini is, you take the baguette and you cut it into slices.
So the
Then it
baguette
becomes
is
a
the actual
crostini.
loaf. The baguette is
The
the bread.
baguette is the loaf. Yes. Now you can go straight across it and have a smaller cut, or you can go in a 45-degree angle, which
Oh,
is
we
what
want
we
that.
did,
Yeah.
and you want a longer baguette so you can put more topping on it.
Yeah, and you can have two bites instead of trying to figure out how to do half of one. So it's politer when you're eating and you have wine. If you have wine, now, oh, this is going to go nicely with some. Oh, gosh, you could do all kinds. You could even, I almost feel like the wine has to have a kick to it. Like a dry rosé would go like like a Grenache or something. Like a little, it needs a little spice to this wine, whatever wine you have. A white wine? Okay.
You can
I'm
do
always.
white, you can do red, you can do rosé, you can do champagne, you can do a really nice beer. A Hefeweizen would go really well with this.
Oh, you know, that does sound really good. Oh, okay. Well, this
You
is
can do
really
a
a danger zone.
martini.
You can do whatever you want. We're adults. And you could
Yeah,
have olives on
sure.
the side. Yeah, you
Oh
can have a few.
yeah.
Oh, see, this
Yeah,
is the
I
thing.
do.
It's
Yeah.
about nibbles. I feel like
Nibbles.
sometimes we get into these, like, let's have the big roast, where I like a lot of little food because you can sit and talk.
Absolutely.
However, you do tend to forget how much of the nibbles you're eating if you're having a good time.
Well, it's called a
But
nosh, you know. Is there
I
anything better than a
no.
nosh?
Well, there's a couple of things that can be really
There's
good
a
in
few
life,
things,
but they go with it. They, you know what I mean? Like one's a before and one's an after, or both. You could be like, you know, what's his name? George from Seinfeld.
Yes. So I was just thinking that when he was eating the corned beef sandwich when he was having sex. Yes.
Hey, listen. Hey, this is perfect. We are recording this on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. There's no way this will ever just be a normal, you know, plain and dry cooking show here. No, but
no.
Okay. So everyone, you've got your French bread baguette. Cut six slices on the bias. So that's going to be your diagonals. Then you've got your large red pepper. You're going to roast and dice it. You've got dry Italian herbs. Now, if you've got some fresh ones from the garden or your kitchen garden, is that okay? Or
Sure.
is it better to be
Of
dry?
course.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Let me go through the ingredients, but I want to go back to the herbs. You've got grated Parmesan cheese. So that's not the stuff that comes out of the plastic container, like the
No, you
shaken.
take a wedge and you do it fresh.
Okay. And then a cup of shredded mozzarella. Do you think this fat-free cheese thing is why? How? How are they making cheese fat-free? I don't understand this.
They do, but the meltability factor on it sometimes doesn't work. You know, you can use a lower fat cheese, but some of the, you know, fake cheeses and stuff kind of don't melt very well.
Okay. And then you have a third cup of mayo, salt and pepper to taste. So really the dressing for the baguette slices is the red pepper, the mayo, the Parmesan, mozzarella and herbs. So then you're just spreading it on the baguette and baking it, right?
Right. And we use an avocado. We use healthy mayo. And yeah, you want to toast the baguette ahead of time in a 400 degree oven to get it lightly toasted, not a lot. You want to put it on, go back into a 400 degree oven for about 5 to 8 minutes. So when you eat it, you don't want the toast, the crostini, the baguette to be hard. You want it to be just set enough that it's lightly crispy, but it's kind of fluffy and a little soft. That
Okay.
eats so much better than, oh my God, this crostini almost broke my tooth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've done that by accident on things
Yes.
a lot. And then I think, okay, we can get around it. And then yeah, I've been creative in things, you know, like I have messed up toast and stuff, but then I turn it into French toast. Like I'll take eggs and whip them up. And if I have like hard, like almost crude, you could make them croutons, but sometimes you have to, how do you moisten? Oh, I said the word, hard bread. I mean, at that point you just toss it. I mean, you can do microwave or.
Well, what you like, if it's not too hard, you can make French toast out of baguettes. It's fabulous. You just want to make sure you put it in the mixture and kind of let it sit a little bit. You can make croutons out of French bread. Once bread gets stale and too hard, it's basically breadcrumbs at that point. You don't want to throw it out. You want to use it. But, you know, bread is in and of itself an entire art.
Yeah, when we first got to this country, I worked in a deli, and I had a very, you know, like this, and it was all New Yorkers coming at me, and I'm like, I don't even know how to make change. All your money looks the same. I mean, this was cash based back in the day, right? And I really didn't know what was going on. I thought bagels were donuts. I was so stupid. I mean, come on, you know.
Oh,
but anyway, well, and I learned
You've
about
come a long way.
pastrami. I have really learned, you know, but, you know, every day, whatever bread, because everything was baked there. Even the bagels were done. I mean, it was like a hands-on. I mean, I really learned, and I learned from the ground up, mopping floors to all of it, right?
Sure, of course.
And it was fantastic. And I learned the art of crouton making. It became a thing for me to make croutons. And we did it even using the day-old bagels, whoever didn't take them home from the restaurant, right? Because the perks of working in a restaurant is you always go home with food. But some employees went off with a leg of ham, and they didn't last very long, but they did.
They
They
didn't
didn't have
last.
the posse touch system at that just back in those days. But honestly, we used whatever bread, because it was like, you, even if it was toasted, it still had to be freshly baked that day. It was like the rule of the house. You
Yeah,
have to,
good.
you do not use yesterday's bread on your customers coming for a pastrami on
No.
rye, even if it's being,
No.
I mean, it's a hot sandwich. No, they'll know. So it all became, we did in-house croutons and it was amazing to have like, oh, would you like rye croutons? Would you like pumpernickel rye croutons? Which I mean, it, we had croutons and it changed the salad from typical croutons to what seasoning you did. And certain croutons went for certain salads. I mean, it was actually quite interesting how they did that.
Well, remember too, with older bread, bagels, baguettes, you can make bread pudding,
Oh,
which
yeah.
can be either sweet or savory. Also, remember, you can do what they call an Italian, a panzanella salad. Tracy makes incredible panzanella salads where she'll roast tomatoes, confit tomatoes, and then use that roasted herb, garlic oil, and moisten the harder bread. And then mix it with arugula and tomatoes, and oh my God, and that
Wow.
moistens it just enough that when you eat that panzanella salad, it's to die for.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now you said moist twice now. You did
Yes,
it.
I
Now we've
know,
done it
I
three
know.
times. We've done good. We've done good today. All right. So you know what I did the other day? Okay. So we got, you know, those little potatoes. I have a thing about little potatoes. They're nice. You can clean them nice. You can keep the skins, all of that. And we had a bunch of mushrooms. We had these potatoes. Red onions, and there were some cherry tomatoes that were ready to say goodbye, but they weren't bad, you know. So I'm looking at these, I'm like, you know what? We're doing this. So, because of those little potatoes, like the little red ones, and you know, little finger, even whatever, those little ones, they cook really quickly. So,
Yeah, they're
I
called
took some.
peewees.
Yeah, little baby. So, you know, I always tend to, you know, as we travel the country, we pet sit, and I don't want to make any messes in anyone's house, but this did smell a little garlicky by the time I was done. I got into the herbs. Oh, I mixed all of, I chopped these all up. The mushrooms pretty much stayed whole, so they were almost like stuffed in a way, but not quite. Like you just don't mince them, you know. You want them to still have texture and be who they are. I think I had some
Integrity,
bell pep, yeah, some bell peppers, and don't mince the garlic in this. It, you gotta, you know, you can cube it or whatever. You can mash it, but there's something about like a, like you just want this roasted clove of garlic. But if it's not opened up in some way, it doesn't do it right. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but like you have to cut the ends off so that the oils and stuff can get in there. And so the potatoes, the onion, the garlic, some bell peppers, they were baby sweet little bell peppers. And I just took at the end, I took and I roasted these with herbs, all these different herbs and spices and turmeric and chili and all of that, right? And I put, and the mushrooms you just cut in half, like boom, right? So they can become like, remember you did those Zinfandel steak mushrooms? Like that, kind of big.
The steakhouse mushrooms,
And then I took these cherry tomatoes. I'm like, I don't want to throw them away because just because they're a little older. They were a little wrinkly. I didn't think we were going to die over this. I'm like, they're fridge dried. You know what I mean? They weren't sun dried. So I sliced them in half. They're all squirty everywhere. I'm going to tell you, they became like candy amongst the garlic, amongst the onion, and I can taste it now. All I can tell you is I smelled like a walking garlic stick, but
But that's good. You can never have enough garlic.
I'm telling you, man, there's something about it. It is. I feel like I'm eating the bowl of health, even though there's potatoes, but if you get the right potatoes, there's nutrition and potassium and all of that. But those tomatoes, just, you know, those little cherry tomatoes you think you're putting on your salad and you don't do it, use them because they turn into like nature's candy in all kinds of roasting. It's my new thing, taking those.
Well, a very famous tapas, bruschetta, they do it a lot in Spain. They'll make the crostini, they'll toast it, they'll take mashed potatoes, and they'll spread it on the crostini. Then they will take garlic, that whole cloves that they simmer in oil. It's called confit. So they simmer it till the garlic gets soft, and that makes the garlic sweet, not so strong. They'll take it out and they'll put that over the mashed potato, and then they'll do what they call a tomato conserva, which is what you did, and spread that on top and then sprinkle a little Parmesan. It's to die for.
Oh my God. But if you bake it on top, so it has like a crust on top.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Now, have you had like flauta, like rolled tacos, potato
Oh,
tacos? They do that in
Oh,
Yuma,
yeah.
the Sonoran
Oh, yeah.
Mexican, and with and you've got to have it with, it's got to have some spice and kick,
Taquitos,
and you,
yeah.
yeah, and you put taquitos with cabbage. They do it with
Yes,
cabbage, and
sure. Of
oh,
course. Yeah.
because there's something
Oh,
about the
yeah.
cabbage having a kick against the potato inside
Oh,
the
yeah.
taquitos.
Very
It's
good. Very good.
Okay, so what about Melba toast? Because isn't that kind of like more,
Melba.
you, what the, I mean, it's like, and then
Oh,
what?
I don't. Melba toast
Uh-oh.
is some kind of, well, you know, when I was a little boy, it was like it was pre-toasted. It came in cellophane.
It still does. I saw it in the grocery
It
store.
still does, you know, but make fresh, you know. It's like, who knows? And they, yeah, you like it.
No,
My face is going, she loves it.
she does. She likes Melba toast.
Yeah,
I heard about,
she
it was
loves
in
Melba toast.
England. It was in England, I think I first heard about Melba toast, but it's always like,
Elba.
it's like someone made a little bread, like a miniature little square thing. And it's like perfectly square. Is it for high tea? Oh, Nancy
You
says
can
it's
use
for
it.
babies.
The babies. I used to dunk it in coffee.
Oh, like now in South Africa we have what's called rusks,
Yeah.
RUSK, Uma Biskekies. So they would take a bread, talk about dry bread, and oh man, you would dig this. You would dig this. So you picture a loaf bread, like a loaf pan, like if you're making banana bread, okay? And it's kind of a whitish, you use whole wheat, but it's like a, it's got the big holes in it. So it's airy, right? And they would mix the dough with marmalade. So the little bit of marmalade goes in, but you have a little bit of that zest and that rind, right? But it has, would be Oma's Marmalade Biskekies. Biskekies is like biscuits. And so the way they would make it, it's, you know, you can see those kind of like how buns come all stuck together. So it's like a loaf that they probably pre-cut before they bake it, because like you'll get a loaf and maybe 8 to 10 long like chunks come off of it. It's like if you're making it into, like if you took a loaf and you cut it into eighths, so you're getting from the bottom to the top. And so like they're cylinder things, like biscotti, there it is, hello.
Ah.
And but it's like it's a rough version of biscotti, it's not fancy. It is like, this is like a dry bread. It's like when someone had dry bread, they just broke off a piece. And that's what people dunk in their coffee in South Africa or their tea. Oh, and no matter what, you'd have bitsies at the bottom. And sometimes you can do it, but if you had a rough night before, you couldn't do it the next morning.
No,
You couldn't. It's no
too much
bitsies
work.
happening. No, it'd make you feel a little weird. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting what you can do with bread. And I wonder if like French bread, because of that, the airiness you were saying in there, it was kind of like that, yet it was still thick. So yeah, man, it's good. That stuff is
I still
good.
remember the first baguette I had when I went the first time I went to Paris. It was like my first croissant. You know, I was like, oh my God. But you know, I went to a shop that was for generations were making croissants and baguettes. For generations. This is all they did. And it was just like, oh my God.
We had a travel writer, Debbie Stone. She went to Paris and did a croissant making class. And she's like, you will not know how much goes into a croissant.
Oh
She
God.
says it's like this layering and kneading and
Oh,
layering
and butter and folding
and more,
and
but
cheating
yeah,
and
that's it.
resting. Oh my God, so much work goes in. And when you're eating it, you think you're eating a cloud, but in
Yeah.
reality, you're eating a lot of butter.
But that's okay. That's all right.
That's okay.
But listen,
Hey,
there
they live
is
a long
something.
time.
Okay, now with a French loaf, have you just gotten it fresh out of the bakery while it's still warm and put just real butter on it? Just
Yeah, that's all you need. Or cheese. That's it. Bread and cheese. You don't need any. My last meal in prison would be a French baguette, a good cup of coffee, and either a Taleggio or a triple cream brie or a truffle triple cream brie. That's it. That's it.
What's the
Taleggio? That's all I want.
Let's go back
Taleggio
to
Taleggio is. It's a blue vein Italian cheese that's aged. It's like a blue and brie had a baby on steroids. And it's creamy and it's pungent. And it just, oh.
We need to have a cheese class. We need to talk
yes.
cheese. We need to do
yes.
a cheese show. We do. I know there's going to be a cheese day somewhere and we're going to find
oh,
it.
Cheese.
And we're going to do it. We're going to do cheese all day long. Well,
right.
cheese,
And
you
I'm
know,
not
it's
a
very
snob.
Regional too.
Yeah, I like American cheese. You know what? I like a piece of Velveeta. I'm not sitting there going, "Oh my God, this American cheese." I like
Listen,
it.
if you don't have that kind of thing on fast food, then you didn't eat fast food. If you're going to eat
Exactly.
fast food, you need to either you go all in or don't do it at all. Like you can't this thing where fast food was trying to get healthy. Like I think the wrappings and stuff like could be more ecologically friendly. If possible, you know, that would be better.
I agree. I
And
agree.
different states are weird about it. But if you're going for fast food, you can have healthier fast food. But once in a while, you guys are in San Diego, like Angelo's Burgers. I always talk about them. I don't know if you've gone to Angelo's yet, but there's something about a very, and I haven't done it for a few years, so I don't know if they're still as good, but there was something about Angelo's Burgers. Big, greasy Angelo's.
Yeah.
It was the meat grease, right? It wasn't like, you know, this is sometimes you want the grease. Greasy Angelo burgers. And I even ate the tomatoes on it. I'm not a big raw tomato person, but I did. And you have onion rings. Onion rings are good. They're good. They're good for you.
Especially when they make them with the Maui onions. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you about herbs. So when you're talking about dry herbs, right? And you say, okay, we can use fresh. Is now there's a difference, right, of when and how. And you know, herbs, you know, like basil, as we say, basil, goes to seed and then you know, your basil dies off and people freeze them, some people try to dry it. Like, what do we do with, you know, because these some of these herbs can go crazy. Rosemary can stay even through winter half the time. And rosemary is fantastic, but when is it, when should you have dry versus fresh herbs? I was going to say moist herbs. When do you have dry?
Dry herbs you want to put in the beginning because they slowly will bring out the flavor. Fresh herbs you want to put at the end because if they take too much heat, they're going to lose their pungency. They're also going to turn dark. If you have a lot of fresh herbs, you can turn them upside down and hang them, and you can dry them out and put them in a coffee grinder. Another thing you can do with fresh herbs is you can make maître d' butter. So you soften your butter, you chop up your herbs, you put it in the butter, and you put the butter in little, thin, not deep muffin pans. And once they freeze, you pop them out, you wrap them in foil and plastic wrap, and you put them in the freezer. And you have a herb butter that you can use anytime you need when you're making a sauce, when you're adding it to pasta, when you're doing a glaze, and they can stay for a very long time.
Okay, so a lot of people leave their butter out because I think a lot of the, because people went to margarine because it was easier to spread on your toast. I think that's kind of what happened.
The trans
fat, I don't,
yeah.
And then at one point it was supposed to be healthier, which I cannot believe it's not butter.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
You know, what was that? Fabio? Was this, was that him?
Yes. Yes. That's Fabio.
I cannot believe it's not butter. Yeah. Well, so you have all that happening. So people start going, oh, we want it nice and soft. So here comes the fast foodie kind of thing, right? Oh, here to the rescue. Then when you actually read what you're eating out of margarine, and we're guilty of it too, just the way we travel at times. And now I'm going, this is really dumb. But then some people keep their butter in the fridge. Some people leave it out. Like, how do you butter your toast if your butter is in your fridge? Saving your
take it
dog
out
a
of the fridge
grease.
and let it soften a little bit. You know, you pull it out, you let it soften, but butter needs to be in the fridge. You don't want to leave butter or eggs out. A lot of people do. You shouldn't.
Okay. Okay,
I
that's a
use
good
I can't
point.
believe it's not butter all the time. When I do my egg white omelet in the morning, I do a spray of I can't believe it's not butter and a little fresh grated Parmesan and a touch of low sodium salt, and I'm happy.
Now, do you say that when you're cooking? I cannot believe this is not butter. It's my
Yes,
only accent to
I
it.
do.
You
I
have
do.
to say it. You have to. No, okay. So, I mean, there's a balance too. I mean, we can't be purists because, like, that's
Everything in
boring and food.
moderation.
Yeah, I agree with this. Okay, so, but there is something about a good dip. Olive oil and French bread, like for tasting French bread, like the olive oils need. Yeah.
Olive oil with a little balsamic, fresh
Oh.
grated parm on a plate with a warm French baguette. You do the scarpetta. Oh my God. That's
Yeah. Now, if you
it.
go wine tasting in Temecula, there's a lot of olive oil tasting too in your area.
Yes, a
And
lot of
there's,
wineries and a lot of olive oil.
it's amazing to me what they're doing with olive oils now. Like you can
Yeah.
change a dish according to the olive oil. You know,
Yes.
it's like, yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, this has got a little lemon to it, so you might want to use it
Yes.
with chicken, you know. So you're also helping a farmer and it's not mass produced as much, so that's kind of a cool
Right.
thing too. But I love this. I love this. So everybody, it is French bread day, so let's all make some if you want, right? That's not hard to make your own French bread
It's
or
hard to
this.
make French bread. Yes. You
Okay,
need the
then
correct
yeah.
racks. It's making French bread is not easy. It's a process.
Oh.
Go to a good bakery.
Okay.
Otherwise,
Okay,
you're going to become very crazy.
this is the first time I've ever heard you on this show say just go buy it. Okay. That's yeah, Nancy's sitting there in the background going, "Yep, go
Go
buy
buy
it."
it.
And if you
Go
don't
buy it.
eat it, then the first day, that's why there's such a thing as French toast and bread pudding and croutons. So,
Yes.
and also using it for soup. I mean, croutons are not
Oh,
just
yeah.
for salad. Croutons and breadcrumbs too. Having your own breadcrumbs. I don't know if breadcrumbs are breadcrumbs anymore coming out of, I don't know.
Who knows?
Like we
Who knows?
actually
That's why
buy
you got to read
breadcrumbs.
labels. Yeah, you got to read
Yeah.
labels. I
Wow.
start next week, 2 week seminar of nutrition with my classes. And I'm very, very into what are you eating? Read it. How many servings? So it's got, you know, cereal will say, you know, all the sugared cereals based on
Ooh.
this. It's a quarter of a cup. Who eats a quarter of a cup of cereal? Most people eat 6 to 7 times that in a bowl. So you really have to be aware of what you're eating, read what you're putting in your body, take a look at the fat, take a look at the salt, take a look at the sugar. You have to have protein, you have to have carbs, and you have to have correct healthy fats. And you can live a
Wow.
very, very healthy, good life and never feel deprived.
I like this. I like this. Yeah, nutrition is a big one. I think that has to
Yes.
be a focus soon too, because you know what? We're getting into spring and it's time to, you know, undo those winter habits because you know they creep in. You know,
Well, when I
comfort
see a
food.
student with
Yeah.
a bag of Takis and they eat the whole bag through the day, they're eating thousands of milligrams of salt,
What's
tons
that?
of fat, and then Takis, it's like a rolled chip. And then they're washing it down with the Monster Rock Star
Ooh.
that is 75 grams of sugar. And then when you look it up, it says, we don't know how much taurine is in here. We don't record it. Well, what
What?
the hell is guarine? What is taurine? You know,
Taurine.
what do you,
Taurine
what,
is something that vegans don't eat, number one.
yeah.
Taurine is like
Yeah.
almost like gelatin, like from horse hoof, and it's like the it's part of taurine and casein is part of cheese, even. It's an animal byproduct.
Right.
But
Right.
some of it you don't really want in certain things. It's like it's in
Right.
all cat food and dog food, and that's why a lot of our animals
Right.
are not doing well.
Right. Right. And then top it off with a good puff of cotton candy vape where you just smoke 10
What?
cigarettes worth of nicotine for dessert. So we get to these young people and shake their brains up a little bit and go, wait a second. You keep on this track, good luck.
Well, you know what I think is the key part of what you're doing is you're showing them how to do it, and they're actually physically doing something, which is empowerment, which means, oh, they have some pride over of something that they created. And that means that they come up with the positive change. If we tell people to change, I mean, if you tell me to not have my glass of wine, that's not, it's not going to work.
No.
And it actually, no one can, no, I can't even tell myself that. I need my glass of wine at the end of the day. Even Dr. Jackie says we're allowed to have it because it's, you know, but if you're going to have 10 bottles now, everyone's going to take you somewhere, somewhere to, you know, go get cleaned out. But that's the thing. These kind of programs, I'm so glad we talked about the educational component at the start of the show today, because I mean, that's all we do. It's why we are doing what we do at the Big Blend here is it's education. We want to have fun and say naughty things we're not supposed to. But the reality is to make change, it has to almost be someone's idea and it has to have an action step component to it. And that's, I feel, the only way sometimes, but we're so fast in society and these programs for kids, programs for adults. I mean, there's a lot of, like, we did a show on Asheville, North Carolina, and there's a couple who are big into cooking and traveled the world, and they created the cooking cottage. And people come in and people will go on vacation and take cooking classes on vacation as a couples thing or as a date night thing. And I think, you know, that's really fun. They meet other couples and other friends, family. It doesn't have to be just, you know, romantic. But it's like these other steps of getting out of the mold of eating the same thing or buying stuff that is already pre-made or like, here's your kit. Like, really? You had to learn how to make a salad? Like, here's a recipe and you can even have your ingredients delivered. Now, you don't have to go to the market if you don't want to, but we're having all these boxed dinners come to your door. And I'm not, I mean, if you need to do that once or twice a week, okay. But like, where are we going to draw the line of not actually having any experience ourselves? As when we're in the height of AI, right? They're talking about using what's that, 3D printing to make burgers and stuff. I'm starting to kind of freak out on one side of life about what we're going to. I know there's you know, the manufacturing world is where we started getting mass-produced food, which isn't all negative because it was about costs. And yeah, I get it. But I'm just going, there's this level of learning a craft. No, we do not need to be five-star chefs like Ivan, but to be able, if you are known for one cake or one cookie, it's always like, oh, you know, Nancy knows how to make the best rum balls ever. Go figure. She really has a good time making them too, but she's known for it. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's something that she's mastered a skill at in a very happy way. But isn't that like something for all of us to remember those roots of doing? Because when we do not do or take action and have experience, man, we get lost in the shuffle, and that's when disease hits. That's when just life sucks.
Once you give up control to a corporation to mass produce your food, they're going to use every chemical, every preservative, everything they can to give that food more shelf life. They're going to put more salt in it for flavor, and they're not going to care except for one thing, and that's the bottom line of profitability. And that's where we're at. Fast food companies, you can buy a burger cheaper than you can buy an apple. Fast food companies have stopped caring about people's health decades ago. And so we're the fattest, sickest country on the planet.
And this is another huge, you know, shout. Please tell your school and your principal hello from us and thank you, because they, and we've done shows on this years ago. We did like going into college and all of these kinds of shows. And we'll do more now that I'm thinking we need to. They target the younger generation. Advertising targets, and especially now that kids have phones and social media, they are targeted for this kind of food. And even like all the swag that comes from eating from different food companies. You know, it started with the Lucky Charm crap in our cereal.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't it? Wasn't that a big marketing ploy?
Yeah, they're magically delicious. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and oh,
It
you
starts
can
with
collect the
baby food,
stickers.
Lisa.
Start
You know,
the
it starts with the
stickers.
sugar in the baby food that gets you hooked on sugar, and then you go
Oh.
into the fast food and it gets you hooked on salt and fat. It's all
Oh man.
chemically done with
And
chemists
then
and scientists.
they go to credit cards and they attack our young adults with credit cards and they
We
get
talk about
themselves
that.
so screwed with credit
We
card
talk
debt.
about that. Because once you
Ooh.
graduate, the first thing they get in the mail is an application for a credit card. And we talk about how to control spending. We talk about APR. We talk about how you shouldn't, if they give you 5 grand, you shouldn't put more than you can pay at the end of the month or a certain amount, because then your credit is negatively affected with how much you have on the card. We talk about auto loans. We talk about
Yeah.
banking. We talk about how to balance a checkbook.
And
Things
with
they're
the credit,
actually going to need.
well, and even nowadays, they look and see if you went bankrupt if you're going for a job
Yes.
application. They actually
Well,
look at your financial behavior
and
now
they look at
for a
your social
career.
media. We talk about not posting things that are never going to go away, because your human resources department, they check you out before you can get a
Oh,
job. So you don't be sending
Tracy
these
must
pics.
love that. I know Tracy's an amazing publicist, by the way, everyone, Ivan's wife, and that's
She's an
how
amazing
we,
person, period. Yeah.
she is, and that's how
She
we met
scares me,
Ivan.
Lisa. She scares me
Well, she's got
in a good way.
integrity. Listen, let me
She
tell you, she's got
yeah.
integrity, and that
Yeah.
integrity, she stands up, and that's
She does.
and she's a little lady, but don't mess with Tracy. She stands up for
No,
integrity.
don't mess with her. No.
Yeah, I mean this in a good way. And apparently she can bake too. So, that I love it. I love it. Well, Ivan, I'm going back to wanting my French onion soup now. I feel like, could you imagine if one of those big fast food companies said, come on down and get your French onion soup? Like,
Right.
could get like French onion soup out of a can. It's not. It's something
Oh my
that to
God.
me, if we can we do a French onion soup show? I want to master it, maybe for fall or something. The mastering
Sure.
of French onion soup,
It's
like the
easy. It just
mastering
takes
of
time.
soups. Yeah, but
Yeah.
there's
Oh, I
something
love soups.
beautiful.
Yeah, I love
Yeah, we'll
soups.
do that for fall. We're getting into spring and summer now.
Bet.
We're excited.
You got
Yeah.
it.
Well, thank you so much. And listen, have a
You're
wonderful
welcome.
birthday. Thanks for always
Oh,
doing
thank
a
you.
good rant as well and being naughty
Oh,
as
thanks
well.
for
So
having me.
we hope you get your corned beef sandwich and more for your birthday.
Okay.
So have a good one,
Okay.
Chef Ivan.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Chef Ivan's recipe, as always, is in the show notes. So thank you all for joining us here on Big Blend Radio. Thanks for joining us here on Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry show. Keep up with our podcasts at bigblendradio.com and our magazines at bigblendmagazines.com.